Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on the baby boomers when we come back. You know, in 1970, the world food supply was 73 days for every man, woman, and child in the world. Today, it's down to 38 days. Now, we Americans produce grain for export, all right, but then we turn around and import grapes from Chile, tomatoes from Mexico, and berries from Guatemala. 50% of our food supply comes from outside of our borders. Our food supply is in the hands of foreigners and multinational corporations who support this global 2000 population reduction program. Now, all this globalization may be good for business, but globalization is bad for you and it's bad for me. Back in 1940, all of us had a pantry full of food to feed our families for a year or more. Today, we have a three-day supply in our refrigerators, and we have been taught to believe in our supermarket system of just-in-time delivery to feed us all forever. But over the past 60 years, we Americans have traded a one-year food supply in our own pantries for a three-day food supply in somebody else's store. And these global 2000 mad scientists, philosophers, preachers, and politicians plan to use famine, plague, disease, and pestilence to reduce Earth's population by 90% over the next 50 years, or so says the Club of Rome, if you can believe them. Now, these evil madmen with their global 2000 genocide agenda have a cause that they're willing to die for, and I say let them die for their cause, and let you and I live for ours. Now, let me show you from the Scripture how to be a live survivor instead of a dead victim. Now, if you'd like to learn more, call and order our free General Law CD package. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general. Remember, it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free, and you can call and order one right now. The number to call, 417-273-4967. And our subsistence and survival school is also available on compact disc for adult home study. If you're online, just go to our website, georgegordon.org. Click onto the email and send us an email request for your free General Law CD package. Now, once more, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about the baby boom generation. And last time I gave you some numbers. We started off with the AARP. They say everything's turning up 7-Elevens, roses, and clover. And then I took a look at some numbers and I said, you know, these numbers don't check out. They don't check out in purchasing power. Because you see, over 40 years, the purchasing power caused by inflation from 1960 to 2000 averaged 4.7%. From 1960 to 2000, 40 years, 4.7%. Now, that's right at 5%. Now, you take the 5% that you made on your stocks, you pay your taxes on it, you leave it invested, compounded, you lose approximately 40% of your purchasing power off of your original $10,000. Oh yeah, you've got more dollars in the bank. Oh yeah, your $10,000 grew to $30,000, but it takes $50,000 to buy what $10,000 would buy 40 years ago. So you end up net loser in purchasing power. You end up net gainer in more dollars. And this is the problem with inflation and fiat currency. See, they educate you in public school and they don't teach you how to count. That's why Johnny can't read and Johnny can't count. But then you weren't designed to think. You weren't educated in your public school system to think. That isn't the program. You were trained in your public school system to think that you could think. And as a result of that, Americans today are enamored by hard work, produce more, make more money. And then your government goes out here and prints more fiat currency over here, and you've got a 10% inflation rate. And so I took a look at these numbers some years ago, and you know, just from my own personal, practical business experience, I came to the conclusion I can't afford to retire. Now, if I could put $10,000 in the stock market or in the bank, get 5% interest for 40 years, compounded for 40 years, end up with $70,000, and if the $70,000 had the same purchasing power that it had back in 1960, we'd all be in Fat City. I don't deny it. That's wonderful. That's a hell of a neat program. But that isn't the way the game's played. That isn't the way it works. That's the way it is pictured to work. That's what we've been told. But that isn't the nature of the game. And inflation and taxes are a major part of it, and when you calculate the inflation and the taxes, you come up a net loser. So I took a look at it and said, well, and obviously I cannot afford to retire. So I didn't. I'm still out here scrambling, trying to make my money, trying to make my living. And I expect to be doing that until the day I die. So I just wanted to throw that out to you, that don't feel bad. Because Moses never retired, and retirement is not a part of the biblical program. Nobody in the Bible, no Levitical priest, ever worked for 30 years for the corporation and then retired on Social Security. That was not part of God's program. That was a part of Franklin D. Roosevelt's program. That's a part of the communist program. They sold it to us. Americans have bought it. And if you buy into it, there will be a consequence that comes from it. There are always consequences from your actions. Now people will act, and then they complain about the results that they get. Well, okay. You know, that's the way life is. That's like, kind of reminds me of back in the olden days, we had a bridge, there was an overpass there at Lolita, California, and it had a sign there that said slow to 30 miles an hour. And it was a sharp S turn under a railroad right-of-way overpass. And a lot of people had been killed there. Well, us kids, you know, being high school kids and all, you know, out to defy death. We discovered that 30 miles an hour was a lie. You could drive under there at 35. Some other kid came to school one day and he said, oh, shucks, I did it at 40. Well, you know, I had to, you know, do one-upsmanship and do a little better, so I had to do it at 45, you know. Well, one day we had a kid in school there. He had a 49 Merc. He went under the bridge there, and I think he said he was going 60. He didn't quite make it. And he hit the upper side of the concrete abutment over there with the side of his 49 Merc, and he rolled it over and totaled his car out. And so it led me to this conclusion. Well, it is true that the highway department lied to us when they said slow to 30. But there is an upper limit to how fast you can go underneath there, and 60 seemed to be about, you know, maybe past that upper limit. So moral of the story is there's a consequence that comes from your actions. Now, if everybody slowed down to 30, nobody would hit the abutment. But, you know, there's always got to be some guy out here that goes a little faster. You know, if you got a law, there's got to be some guy that can break the law and get away with it. It's the way human nature works. And that's the way it is with Social Security. Now, I wanted to carry this a step further, because Social Security is the third tax, or the third rail, of politics. It's a tax. And so in my tax and status school, in lesson 13, we actually take a look here at the numbers. What does Social Security actually pay you? We all know that Social Security is a marvel to behold, and that Social Security is a miracle of the Roosevelt administration back in the 1930s. And that Social Security is good for us is evidenced and demonstrated by the fact that everybody pays it. If I ask you, well, would you like to pay 16% of your income into a program such as the support of the World Communist Alliance? You know, probably most people say, well, hell no, I don't want to pay 16% of my income into the World Communist Alliance. Well, the eighth plank to the Communist Manifesto calls for this Social Security program. Now, it's not called Social Security in the eighth plank, but that's what it boils down to. And so the second plank calls for a heavy progressive income tax. Now, if I said, well, how many of you would like to participate in a heavy progressive income tax? Well, it's obvious that everybody wants it. Everybody participates in it. Everybody likes it. I don't, so I dropped out. I decided I didn't like Social Security, so I dropped out of Social Security. Here I am, an old man now, 69, pushing 70, and I don't draw Social Security. In fact, I'm not even eligible for it. I dropped out. I dropped out years ago, and I want to tell you why in today's program. I'm going to show you a little something here about Social Security that maybe you hadn't thought of before. And here's the bottom line. Social Security, now I'm a businessman, so let me qualify myself. Let me give you my credentials. I'm a paid professional liar, thief, and cheat. I am a businessman. I don't participate in Social Security because in my business career, I have never seen anything that you could pay so much for and receive so little in return and still call it a program. Now, there may be something out there worse than Social Security, but if there is, would you please send me an email and describe it for me? I've never seen an animal worse than Social Security. From the perspective of the little guy down here at the bottom line who's paying into it. So I quit paying into it back in 1978. I would have done it earlier if I could have. I figured it out in 1968 that it was a bad program. But I didn't know how to make a living. I didn't know how to work. I didn't know how to have a job, you know, and work without Social Security. I kind of hoped that there was a program, but I didn't know what it was. By 1978, 10 years later, I figured it out. So I opted out. And I'm just happy as a clam at high tide. You know, I'm pushing 70. I'm not on Social Security. I work every day. I'm never going to retire. I don't practice the income tax. I don't have a bank account. I don't have any credit cards. I deal in gold and silver coin, and I don't use Federal Reserve notes. I know it's off the wall. It's right-wing reactionary insanity. But I'm happy as a clam at high tide, and I wanted to describe this a little bit to you because it occurs to me that the baby boomers are making decisions for the future. And they're going to have to pay for those decisions just like that boy did when he drove under the Lolita overpass at 60. Now, there's consequences. And you make your decisions, and then you lives with them. Now, I made my decision back in 78, and I'm living with it today, and I'm happy as a clam at high tide, so I thought I'd describe it. Now, let's take a guy that's working for minimum wage, you know, $5 an hour in round numbers. So if you're earning the minimum wage, and you work 40 hours a week, and you work 50 weeks a year for 45 years, and with the current Social Security tax rate of 16.1%, you're going to pay in about $1,770 a year. All right, so what you do is you take $1,770 and you just program that out for the future and multiply it out times 40 or 45, and that'll tell you how many dollars you're going to pay into it. So if you had taken that money and invested it in U.S. savings bonds, which are paying 5% compounded annually on the average, and you did that starting in the year 2000, and you continue that through the year 2045, you'd have a principal balance of $282,000, which would yield you $14,000 a year, or about $1,200 a month, forever. And then when you died, you'd still have the same $282,000 to pass on to your children. Now, you should note here that for the purposes of simplicity, I'm leaving out inflation as the factor, or as a factor, since the COLA, that your cost of living adjustments are designed to keep inflation's effect to a minimum. For example, if the inflation rate is 3%, your check goes up by 3%. And since the rate on bonds or bank accounts is generally higher than inflation, those totals would also go up. So thus, by leaving inflation out of the picture, we get an equally clear picture of the relative financial status without the need to do a lot of unnecessary math. And this is the conventional modality. Nobody ever programs in inflation over the next 45 years. They program the program based upon today's dollars into the future for 45 years. But I just wanted to tell you there's going to be inflation, whether you like it or not. Now, we have $1,200 a month here that you would receive from the 5% compounded. And I showed you in the last program, that compounding is miraculous. Your $1,770 in payroll taxes invested in the year 2000, for instance, is going to be drawing interest, and then the interest on the interest, and then the interest on 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 the interest for 40 years. And, you know, it all adds up a little bit at a time, year by year, and it adds up to $282,000. Now, that's pretty good. Now, the other side of the coin, though, is now Social Security is going to take that $1,770 from you for the next 45 years, whether you like it or not. All right, so they're going to take that money, and they're going to hold it. And that money totals about $80,000. And the actual number is $79,666.20. It's rounded off to $80,000. Then when you stop paying in and you start drawing out at age 65, you're entitled to $500 a month. Now, $500 a month on average, you're going to die at age 75, so that's about 120 checks. So you're going to be drawing out about $60,000. Now, remember, you paid in 80, you're going to draw out 60. So Social Security is going to charge you $20,000 to administer this fund for you. Now, this is assuming the amount that they charge you per month and the amount you're paid per month go up at the same rate. That's a condition which is increasingly unlikely. But, you know, no insurance company or pension fund could take your money and then pay you back anything less than you paid in. Social Security can. Social Security can take $80,000 from you and give you back $60,000. If you paid the $80,000 into any insurance company, they'd have to at least give you back the $80,000. Social Security is the only, is only paying you back out of your $3, $2 for every $3 you pay in. And this is for those who only earn minimum wage, and it gets worse as you earn more. Right. So now if you're a minimum wage worker, and for every $3 you pay in, you get $2 back out of Social Security. Now here's the kicker. The $2 that you get back in 45 years is going to buy less based upon the compounded inflation rate for the next 40 years. And nobody told you about that one. Let me show you how that works. Back in 1951, the Social Security tax rate was 2.25%. So the maximum tax paid was $81 a year. Hell, my granny drew $50 a month. $50 a month back in 1951. So 50 times 12, that's 50 times 12 is $600 a year. Boys and girls, you couldn't pay in $600 in Social Security taxes. She could get $50 a month in Social Security benefits, but you could only pay in 81. And that's because back in 1940, when the first checks were written, there were 80 people paying in for everybody drawn out. By 1945, the number dropped to 45 to 1, about half. By 1957, it was 16 to 1. Today, it's 3.2 to 1, and in 2030, it's going to be 2 to 1, and at some point in time, it'll be 1 to 1, and then at some point in time, it'll be one guy paying in for every two people drawn out. And that's why it's unsustainable. It's what we call a Ponzi scheme. In the early days, it's a marvel to behold. Look at this. You can pay in $81 a year and draw out $50 a month. Well, it's a hell of a deal. Now, masses of people go to school, you know, and get degrees after their names. And they haven't figured out that that's called Ponzi and that that won't work indefinitely. It'll work over the short period of time, you know. It works for a while. It's working today. Now, in my generation, that is from 1935 through about 45, in that age group there, you people are going to get your Social Security money back out. You're going to get paid Social Security benefits. But from 1955 on, this is you baby boomers now, see? You baby boomers, you're not going to get your money back. I just want to tell you, you ain't getting it back. Now, the truth of the matter is, those of us that are in the program today, you know, 35 to 45, aren't getting our purchasing power back, but we're going to get paid back in dollars. See, we put in so many dollars, and we're going to get back more dollars than we paid in. But the purchasing power of those dollars is less. That's the kicker. That's what they're not telling you. All right, now let's take a look at a middle income earner. Let's take a look at a guy that makes $35,000-$40,000 a year. Maybe you're a, you know, carpenter, plumber, electrician, manufacturing employee or something like that. Anyway, you know, you're making $16.66 an hour. Let's see how much that works out to. Let's take $17 an hour times 2,000 hours. That's $34,000 a year. Now, if you're an average guy, Joe Sixpack, you're making about $17 an hour, 2,000 hours a year. You're making $35,000 a year, round numbers. Okay? Now, I worked this out for you, so you don't have to do this, but I encourage you to do it yourself. I mean, if you think you can get into upper mathematics here and do percentages, if you're a middle-income worker and you're making $35,000 a year, use the above formulas, and you'll be paying about $5,600 a year in payroll taxes. Now, this $5,600 is 16.1%. Is half is from you and half from your employer. But remember, you produced it all. You labored it. You worked for all of it and you paid it all. If you think your employer is paying half your Social Security, you got your head up the wrong end of your anatomy again. I'm an old-timey businessman, and I want to tell you that I've employed tens of thousands of people in my working career, beginning in 1950, ending in 1981. I never paid 5 cents worth of Social Security tax for any employee that ever worked for me, and General Motors has never paid 5 cents worth of Social Security benefits into any fund for any employee they ever had. It is true that we collect it from you, and we collect it from customers, and we pay it over to a third party. Don't come out of our pocket. So don't ever think that your employer is doing you any favors. Employers are not in the business to do favors. They're in the business of making profit. Now, I'm a businessman. That was my goal and motivation. That was my job. That was my mantle. And I'm the CEO. My job is to make profit. Don't get mad at the CEO that's making $300 million a year running Disney. That's his business. And he makes money for the stockholders, and that's why he gets paid big bucks. It wasn't $300 million, but it was... You know, it was $100 million or something like that. Now, there was one CEO for Exxon over here got some kind of a check the other day. I thought it was $456 million. Is that what I heard? Pushing half a billion dollars. Kind of boggled your mind over here. But anyway, getting back to you, Joe. You know, Joe Sixpack over here making $17 an hour, your average. You're going to pay in $5,600 a year. Okay, well, let's just do that. $5,600 a year. Write it in. $5,600 times 45 years. It's $252,000. Joe, you're going to pay in $252,000 to Social Security whether you like it or not. It's the law. It's the way the game's played. Now, what are you going to get from that $252,000 that you're going to earn, that you're going to make, that you're going to pay in? Well, if now you paid in this $5,600 in payroll and withholding taxes. Remember, this is 16%, half from you, half from your employer, who won't be paying you as much as he would have paid you to make up for the money that he has to send in your name to the feds. Well, take a look at the amount a self-employed person has to pay, and you'll see that it's double what a non-self-employed person supposedly pays. If this money had been invested in U.S. savings bonds at 5%, this means that over a 45-year period, you'd end up with a principal value compounded annually. You'd make $894,320.96, which would yield you $44,000 a year, or $3,700 a month forever, and you'd still have $894,320.96 to leave to your children. Now, that's a little fast to get your pen and paper out here, boys and girls. I'm going to run over these numbers with you again, because this is called the miracle of compounding. This is what you've been sold. And if what you were sold was delivered to you, you'd be in Fat City, just like the AARP puts out in their brochure. I don't deny it. But see, they left out a couple of very important factors, you know, like inflation and taxes. And because they leave out inflation and taxes, you know, the numbers don't come out the same at the end of 45 years. Now, it'll take you a couple, 3 hours to sit down and do these 45 calculations. It's well worth your time to do the calculations year by year. Just take a look at the law, take a look at the percentages, and then if you can do the arithmetic, just sit down and do it for 45 years. I think it'll blow your mind. I'll say this. Anybody that would continue paying Social Security after they've done the numbers has to be brain dead. I mean, you'd have to be just totally out of it. You'd have to be suffering from Alzheimer's and unable to speak to continue paying into a program that's going to do this to you. Now, if you ended up, you know, $894,000 is just a kiss away from $900,000. Now, $900,000 in the bank, paying you 5% every month, would total pushing right at $4,000 a month. Now, that ain't too shabby. That's a pretty good retirement. Now, if that's the way this game was played, it would work out pretty well. But Social Security doesn't play the game that way. Here's the way it's played. They take your $5,600 a year for 45 years, and it comes to $252,000. And they've got that in a neat little pile over here. Now, that's the theory behind it. It's called the Social Security Trust Fund. It's a damn lie. They don't have a dime over here in a trust fund. There's no trust funds at all. It's a pay-as-you-go program. And they take the money that you pay in this month, and they pay it out next month to somebody else. There isn't a dime of your money that's in there. So if you thought that there was a trust fund over there, well, that's not true. There isn't. Now, you're going to pay in the $252,000 to Social Security. Now, you live to be 65, so you go down to draw, and you're going to draw at the current rate, $805 a month. Now, $805 a month, you're going to live 120 months after you retire from 65 to 75. That's about 120. And when you do that, you're going to get $96,480. Let's round it off to $100,000. Okay, so you're going to pay in $252,000, and they're going to pay out at current rates, current law, they're going to pay out $100,000. Now, that means they're going to keep $152,000 of it to administer it. It doesn't count taxes, and it doesn't count inflation, and inflation is a tax. So they make you pay a tax on a tax when you're paying your income tax. Let me show you that little scheme works. Say you make $50,000. You make $50,000 and they come along and they take out, say you're self-employed, let's take $50,000. And let's multiply that times 15.3, so that's 0.153, that's $7,650. All right, so now you take the $7,650 out and you write a check and you send that off to Social Security. All right, now you got to figure your income tax. Do you figure your income tax on the $43,350 balance? No. Your income tax is 17, 18, 20% of the $50,000 again. Same $50,000 that you've already paid the $7,650 out of. That's a little bookkeeping trick. We call it in the trade. Bookkeeping trick. That little bookkeeping trick takes an extra $1,300 from you every year for 45 years. $1,300. 13 times 45? That's $58,500. Just that little bookkeeping trick steals $60,000 from you. That $60,000 invested at 5% would pay you a pretty tidy little sum. But you see, you know, you people can't count. You can't do your math. And your math is being done by these paid professionals for you, and they're ripping you off like you can't believe. Now, picture this. Would you like to give me, just to show you what a nice guy I am, why don't you give me the $5,600 per year over the next 45 years? And I will put it in the George Gordon slush fund. And instead of paying you $805 a month, I will pay you $1,000 a month. I'll pay you $120,000. Instead of giving you $100, I'm going to give you $20,000 more. How do you like that? Now, I know somebody's going to say, but I don't trust you. Okay. Well, I'm glad you trust the government, because your government's going to take $252,000 from you, give you back $100,000, and here's the way that works out. That means that you get paid back 38 cents on the dollar. You give them a dollar, they give you back 38 cents. And that's not adjusted for inflation. That's 38 cents that they're going to give you over a 10-year period. Out in the future, 40 years. Let's just go back here a little bit. Back in 1960, if I had $10,000, I could go out and buy a house. What kind of a house do you think you can buy today for the $6,400, which is the purchasing power you got left from your $10,000? Huh? What kind of a house do you think you can buy for $10,000? I could have bought a house for $10,000 back in 1960. Now, my granddad bought a little house, not much of a house, a little house, for $5,000 in 19... 50. I was offered an old house in Ferndale, California for $3,500 in 1960 and turned it down. My Uncle Carol back in 1952 bought a house on Whipple Street in California for $3,600, I believe it was. $3,600. Now, 40 years later, from 1960 through 2000, what happened to inflation? Well, the prices jumped by 4.7% compounded per year. And that compounding over there doubles every 15 years. So your $10,000 doubles to $20,000. And then your doubles again. And you've got $15,000, $30,000, $45,000. So by the year 2005, your $10,000 has lost its purchasing power to the rate that you now need $30,000 to $40,000 to buy what $10,000 did back in 1960. You follow that? And they don't even put that into the equation. They're just paying you back constant dollars. They're going to take a dollar from you, give you 38 cents back. Now, that's the law. I didn't write it. Go look it up yourself. Go to the Social Security website and get the numbers for yourself. Okay, I got to give you a reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard worldwide over the Internet 7 days a week daily. Now, for more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. The Law School teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective, 8 schools in all. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school and is open to individuals by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, please go to the homeschooling page on our website. The Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives, and that can be accessed through the website as well. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events, and we do that 7 days a week. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the Law School at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements or recommendations that we give don't mean that those authors and publications that we endorse and recommend are necessarily going to reciprocate. And that's because most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour are political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review. These opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of our advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this network or local radio station. If you'd like more information, then please call the Law Hour and editorial review at 417-273-4967 or go to our website. It's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. All right, we're talking about the baby boomers and their retirement prospects. As we'll see here from some articles on the Internet, the baby boomers have three sources of income. They've got vested retirement. That is, you work for United Airlines, and they've got a retirement program for you pilots. Now, you just found out how valuable your vested retirement program was when they went through bankruptcy and screwed you out of it. All right, so there's one source of income for you. About 20% of retirement people have these vested retirement programs. All right. Now, there is your savings. The second source of income for you is going to be your savings. How much have you saved? Well, the baby boomers on average have saved $45,000. And then the third source for you is your Social Security. And your Social Security, for you wage earners out there, is going to pay you back 38 cents on the dollar. Now, when I saw these numbers years ago, I took a look at this and I said, do I really need a guardian to take a dollar from me and then give me back 38 cents? Or could I take that dollar and just go stick it under my mattress and then wait until inflation ravages it and it's got $1,300 worth of value, and then I'll take that $1,300 and go out and spend it? Because that's what Social Security is offering you. That's what Social Security pays. They pay you back in the depreciated dollars after you have paid them in for 40 years. So I looked at that and I said, no, I don't think I need that. I think I can do better than that. Dumb as I am, I think I can do better than that. All right, so that's that story. Now, let's suppose that you're a real smart guy and you went to college, like I was told to do and I didn't do. So, I mean, it wasn't that I wasn't warned, you know, like Ronnie, who drove his car under the overpass and hit the side of it and totaled it out. He saw the sign, said 30. He was fully informed as to what the speed limit was driving under the Lolita underpass. But he decided to go under at 60. Well, you know, baby boomers have the same choice. You know, you got three sources that you can rely on for your retirement. It's your savings, it's your retirement program from your employer, or it's Social Security, or a combination of the three. And so Americans believe in Social Security, you know, like they invented it. It actually was invented by a guy named Karl Marx, you know, way back in 1848. It's called the Eighth Plank to the Communist Manifesto. And listen, I don't want to get in the way of Americans who want to practice communism. I'm not opposed to communism. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. I'm kind of non-political. I'm not here trying to advance, you know, some religious or political ideology. I'm just here delivering facts, and Social Security is the eighth plank. Came from the Communist Manifesto in 1848. Americans have embraced it. We practice it. We love it. It's the third rail of politics. I just did the analysis on it and given you the numbers. Let's suppose you went to college and you're a doctor, a dentist, or a lawyer, and you're making $100,000 a year or more. Well, then you're paying in the maximum Social Security tax, which a few years back was $76,200. Now, that was two or three years ago, and it goes up every year, so you're probably paying $80,000, you know, or something like that a year in Social Security taxes. But when you were paying $76,200, assuming that you were making $38 an hour, paying in the maximum $76,200 a year for 45 years, that's a bundle. Hey, you smart guys out there, that's a chunk. That's $524,637. Let's test that again. See, here's 76,200 times 45. Let me do that one again because I didn't get the right number. 76,200 times 45 years. I get $3,429,000. $3,429,000. That's a bundle. That's a bundle of money that you're going to pay in to Social Security. And by the time you reach retirement, you know. Now, how much are you going to get back? Well, investing that money in U.S. savings bonds at 5% interest over a period of 45 years gives you a principal balance at the end. You know, for you professionals and others, $38 an hour. Excuse me, I made a mistake here. I got to back off here. $76,200 is what you're making per year. $76,200 a year. Which means that you made $3.5 million over your working lifetime. All right, now you're going to have to pay in 15.3% of that, up to the amount of $76,200 a year, which is the maximum. That means that you were taxed at the rate of $11,658.60 a year. All right, so now let's just back off here for a minute and run over those numbers again. Got ahead of myself. you're a professional, you're a doctor, you're a dentist, you're a lawyer, you're a real estate salesman, or you're a real estate broker, you're making $38 an hour. That equals $76,200 a year. It's rounded off to $80,000 a year. Now, if we rounded you up a little higher, we could round you off at $100,000 a year. You're in the top 5% of income earners. Did you know that? $100,000 a year puts you in about the top 5%. That means 95% of the people of America make less than you do. You're in the top, you know, the top 5%, kids, at $100,000 a year. So $76,000 a year, you know, you're going to be paying in. This is your minimum Social Security pay in is $11,658. Let's take a look at that number, $11,658 for 45 years. That totals $524,637. So you're going to pay in about $500,000 out of your working lifetime, you professionals out there. Now, investing that money in U.S. savings bonds at 5% interest over the same 45 years gives you a balance of $1,861,880.34, or about $93,000 a year, or about $7,700 a month forever, and you'll still have your same $1.8 million to leave to your kids when you die. Now, that's if you had this account. Now, President Bush was talking about these private accounts. Remember? He said, after the 2004 election, he said, I got this political capital. I'm going to go out and spend it. And I think it took him about 3-4 weeks. It didn't take long. He went out and spent his Social Security capital. And so the press went right to work. And they split the American people right down the middle, just like they do on immigration, Social Security, war, and abortion. So what we do is, as soon as somebody comes out and says, well, now, here's the problem and here's what we need to do, somebody comes out and they say, no, that's a lie. Here's the problem and here's what we need to do. And so that confuses everybody. So that splits the audience 50-50. Then we could add another guy in there. No, he says these two guys are wrong. Here's what we need to do. That splits the audience about 33-33-33. Then by the time you get 4 or 5 people involved in this thing, oh no, these guys are all wrong. The electorate becomes so confused and so fragmented. It's called divide and conquer. See, you people haven't been able to solve the abortion problem since Roe versus Wade in 1973. 30 years. You can't solve the abortion question. You can't answer it. Can't solve it. You're divided. You can't solve the war problem in Iraq. You're divided. You can't solve the Social Security problem. You're divided. You can't solve the immigration problem. You're divided. Now, individually, each and every one of us can solve immigration, Social Security, war, and abortion for ourselves and our families like a shot. No problem here. I don't have any immigration problems. I don't have any Social Security, war, or abortion problems. I don't have any retirement problem. I don't have any income problem. I don't have any income tax problem. We can solve these problems individually at the family level. I can't solve the abortion problem for the United States of America. It's too big for me. It's beyond my ability. And it's obviously above and beyond the president's ability, and the last several presidents' ability, and the Congress's ability, and the last several Congresses' ability, and the people of the United States in general, and their ability, because it hasn't been solved for 30 years. And so the status quo remains, and it will continue on. And that's where you're at with Social Security. So back in 1978, here's how I solved the problem. I resigned from Social Security. I resigned. Social Security is a voluntary program. I volunteered for it in 1950. And then I resigned from the program in 1978. I said, this is it. I'm quitting. I got these numbers together and I said, oh, this is bad. Bad policy. Well, it's good policy for the United States government. It's good policy for Congress. It's good policy for a lot of people out there that collect the money and divide it up. It was just bad for me. I looked at this and said, honest to God, do I need to pay in $500,000 to the government? And what are they going to give me? $1,200 a month. Now, let's take $1,200 a month times 120 months. That's about how long you're going to live. That's $144,000. Round it off to $150, shall we? You're going to pay in $500,000 and collect $150,000. Hey, doc. Hey, lawyer. Hey, real estate broker. Do you need to pay in $500,000 pay somebody $350,000 to write you 120 checks for $1,200 each? You need that, do you? Hey, listen, if you need it, sign up today. I looked at that some years back, and I said, hell, I don't need that. Who the hell dreamed this thing up? Who got me roped into this? You know, I went to public school, and I've been handicapped all my life. I don't deny it. You know, when you're born a Catholic and they send you to Catholic catechism, you'll be handicapped for the rest of your life. I was talking to my gold broker the other day. He says, yeah, I'm a recovering Catholic. He's 73 years old. He's a recovering Catholic. It takes a long time to recover from Catholicism. Indoctrination, children, is indoctrination. When you go to the public school system, you've been indoctrinated. Most people will never overcome Catholic indoctrination. Most people will never overcome public school indoctrination. And I'd say somewhere probably around 90%. Hell, it could be 99%. Now, for that 1% or that 10% out there that can overcome that indoctrination and start thinking with your own mind, I didn't make these numbers up. I got these from the Social Security Administration. These are the official numbers. So if they lie to us, well, okay, then you're starting off with bogus numbers. Well, if they're lying to you, why in hell would you want to pay your money in to an institution that starts off lying to you and giving you bogus numbers? So if you assume that they're telling you the truth and giving you the true numbers, then why don't you just do the arithmetic, and when you get to the bottom line, ask yourself, as a professional, as an intelligent professional, as a man with letters after your name, do you need to give somebody $500,000 and then pay him $350,000 of it to write you 120 checks for $1,200 each? Do you need that? Now, if you're smart enough that you could take your own $500,000 and invest it, or hell, just go out and buy yourself a twin beach and burn it up in airplane gas, for crying out loud, I think you'd have more to show for it. That's what I did back in the early days. Hell, I just burned it up in airplane gas. God, did I have a blast. I had a lot of fun. I enjoyed every minute of it. Smoked Roy Tan. Well, I smoked White Owl cigars. And I smoked Camel Studs for many years and drank Jack Daniel's whiskey. You know, one day I woke up and said, what the hell am I doing this for? How does this benefit me? And I figured out that, you know, Roy Tan cigars and White Owls and Camel cigarettes, Those are very, very profitable items for some people, but they're very detrimental to others. Like driving under the underpass at 60, that can get real detrimental to your health and especially your automobile. After I saw what happened to Ronnie after he hit the side of the concrete abutment to the underpass, I said, I think I'll just drive under there at about 30, 35 miles an hour like the sign says. And that's what I did from that time on. I never did hit that concrete abutment. I never did wreck my car. I learned from the guy that did. I've been learning from all of you Social Security people that have been paying into that program all these years. I sat down, did the arithmetic. I've been watching you. I came to the conclusion it was a bad program. I didn't want it. I'm not here to speak for the rest of you. You know, it's kind of like stocks. If you think investing in stocks, $10,000 in stocks, and then 45 years later, after filing 45 tax returns, well, 40 in this case, 40 tax returns, which is a real pain in the butt, and paying over $17,000 in taxes, and then suffering through the inflation, and then ending up with $3,000 to $4,000 less purchasing power is the thing for you. Let me recommend the stock market today. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Get in now while the prices are high and the price-to-earnings ratio is 20-1 so that you can buy high today and sell higher tomorrow. And if you're fortunate, you can buy high today and sell higher and higher and higher tomorrow. And then maybe later you can buy higher, higher, and higher and then sell it for higher, 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 and higher later on. The old adage that says buy low and sell high probably doesn't apply here. Buy high and sell higher. I looked at that and I said, well, I didn't see anybody that I could point to that ever profited from doing that and didn't think it was a good idea for me, so I dropped out of it. All right, now there's Social Security. And I bring that to your attention because, you know, the oldest boomers, here's an article, you know, comes from I don't know, submitted by Greg on January 18th. He says, if traditional middle age is from 40 to 60, then the first baby boomers are moving on. But a survey of 800 people born in 1946 shows that many aren't ready to be old. And although generally satisfied with their lives, virtually all plan to continue to improve their lives. On the positive side, a remarkable 77% were satisfied with the way things were going in their lives. Retired people were even more satisfied, 85% of them, in fact. So were 81% of those working and 60% of those looking for work. Other good news is that 44% of the first boomers report doing better than expected in their relationships with family and friends, and only 7% said that they were doing worse. Many also found their spiritual life was going better than expected, and two perennial problems stood out. We've written elsewhere about how tightly linked physical health is to happiness, and this survey backs that up. 34% of them said that physical health was the area that they most wanted to improve over the next 5 years. And the most popular response, 32% of the 60-year-olds were doing worse than expected in terms of physical health, and only 28% said that they were doing better than expected with their health. People with less household income were more likely to be concerned with improving their physical health than anything else. And the other major area that people wanted to improve was their personal financial situation, whether they earned under $25,000 a year or over $75,000 a year. So looking ahead, health and personal finances were the two leading roadblocks to achieving what you really want out of life. And of the 65% of respondents who said they faced such a barrier, health and financial issues were the reason given by more than half, 36% of the total. All right, so when you go out and you talk to people who are baby boomers, who were born in 1946, 800 of them, whether they're making $25,000 or $75,000 a year, about a third of them are concerned about their physical health, about a third of them are concerned about their finances, and about one-third of them said, I'm doing just fine with my finances and my health. So two-thirds of you need to face up to financial problems or health problems. Now, if you've taken a look at health costs and health care costs, they're pretty significant. Now, I'm happy to report that down here on the local level, at the George Gordon family level, we're doing fine. I'm in that 28% here. We're doing fine. We're just happy as clams at high tide with our health. We have no health problems at all. We practice the health laws of the Bible. And we have no health issues, even at our advanced age, pushing 70. All right, financial problems. We have no financial problems whatsoever. Zero, zilch. We have plenty of money. Not complaining at all. I'm not rich. No, I'm not Donald Trump. But I'm not a bag lady under a bridge either. So I'm doing all right. So I'm in that one-third down here at the bottom that says 28% of us are doing fine financially and medically, but I follow the economic laws of the Bible also. So for the two-thirds of you out there that may not be doing so well, I would like to suggest that you forget about President Bush spending his political capital to overhaul Social Security, and that you just forget Social Security altogether. Just trash it, forget it. And your individual retirement account that you've got, by the time you get that money out and you go to spend it after having paid taxes and all the rest, I think that it's valuable to you. I mean, I wouldn't trash it or forget it. But if you're counting on it, I think I would forget counting on it. But I certainly wouldn't throw it away. Social Security is the mark of the beast. I think I'd trash that one. I think I'd forget that one based upon Revelation 13:16. But I think I would hang on to my retirement savings. In fact, I think I would cash out if I could and get into gold or silver or wheat, corn, beans, honey, and oil, anything but paper dollars. And then your retirement that you've got at your company, I think you can forget that one. Only 20% of companies, now get this, 20 or 30 years ago, 50% of the companies in America were offering a retirement program. It's down to 20% today. Only one company in five offers it to you, and they're cashing out, and they're going out of the retirement business. I think that over the next 10 or 20 years, that you could just about bet that a retirement program from the company you work for is going to be just about as plentiful as hen's teeth or a Tyrannosaurus Rex. Just about. So I wouldn't count on that one either. That's why I looked at this problem and I said, you know, 10, 15 years ago, I said, I think that George Gordon's going to end up working until he dies. And I'm still working. I could have retired at age 62, and I didn't. That's 5 years ago, wasn't it? 62 and five now. Good God, that's 7 years ago. God, I could have retired on Social Security 7 years ago. How much could I have collected? Well, 62, so you can only get 80%. But, you know, 80% of $800, they told me at the time I'd get $800 times, what, 60% times 0.60. I guess I could have got 480 times, what, 7 times 12, 84. Could have got $40,000 out of Social Security by now. I look at $40,000 and I say, that's chicken feed. I wouldn't get out of bed for that. So that's why I didn't think I needed it. And so I'm going to suggest to you, why don't you look at your Social Security as chicken feed? Throw that crap away. Concentrate on working for the rest of your life, because that's where reality is. Because we haven't got to the bad parts. I've told you what the bad news is. So far, I just told you about the AARP and the Wall Street Journal. Guns, butter, and retired boomers. How do we pay for it all? Here's a Wall Street Journal article, and two guys came in there. A guy by the name of Hubbard writes, and a guy by the name of Reich. Well, Reich used to be the Clinton Secretary of Labor, and Glenn Hubbard is Dean of Columbia Business School and Professor of Economics and Finance at the university. You can get this online, WSJ.com. WSJ.com, that's the Wall Street Journal. You're looking for guns, butter, and retired boomers. How do we pay for it all? You talk about a rosy picture. They ask him, how are you going to pay for this? And they said, oh, there's no problem at all. We can afford the war in Iraq, Homeland Security, a $500 billion natural disaster in New Orleans, and we can take on Medicare and Social Security all at the same time with our robust economy. Excuse me. I can't hardly contain myself. I don't know if these guys are on Mars or if they're on strong psychedelic drugs, but they sure as hell aren't on planet Earth. They're not down here where Joe Sixpack just had his food bill go up by 26% last year. That's not where these two clowns are, I'll tell you that. So with all of the good news now behind us, and this is program number two, tomorrow we will start on the reality of retirement for the baby boomers on the Law Hour and Editorial Review. That's when we take a look at reality, kids. Meanwhile, back on the farm, you've been listening to the Law Hour and Editorial Review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and worldwide over the Internet daily. If you'd like more information about the law school and the Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. Now, if you'd like more information, please go to our homeschooling page on the website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide on the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. All right, our time's up. We got to leave it right there, so we'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.